Revelation chapter 16. And I heard a great voice out of the temple, saying to the seven angels, Go your ways, and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went, and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the man which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image.
Okay, so you see,
it's exactly like you said, that the wrath of God is upon the people with the mark of the beast.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's not wrath of God is not for the Christians. Of course not. I mean, God can spank the Christian, and there needs a purging and purification. All right, but it's like God is not going to purify his church by sending the Antichrist to give a mark of the beast and send them to hell.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
What kind of purging is that? See that they see how these interpretations are totally, out of this world, the Bible. Doesn't make any sense.
It's true.
See, I'm going to spank my own people, purge them, prepare them for their blessing. And to do that, I send them to hell with the mark of the beast. Does it make any sense?
No. This grievous sore which comes upon the people with the mark of the beast, is that physical or is just a symbolism?
Absolutely, 100% physical.
It's a sickness.
Well, it could be like an infectious ulcer that all who receive the mark of the beast will have. God may cause something to malfunction.
You think it has to do with the mark?
Yeah, God can just cause the mark. For example, I believe it's going to be probably the microchip, something. Mm-hmm. I mean, that microchip is full of all kinds of poison. It has mercury, it has everything.
Yes.
I mean, it's designed that if you try to get out, breaks, it will kill you, will poison
Amazing.
You. It's like the mark of the beast, which I believe is a microchip, is kind of like you cannot take it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, something, okay, let me take it out. You have to go, to all kinds of operations and complications. And plus, when you receive it, you don't want to take it out because it will influence you. Just like when you get drunk, an alcoholic doesn't want to stop drinking. Drug addict doesn't want to stop taking drugs. A whoremonger doesn't want to stop to go to prostitutes. It's like you receive the mark of the beast, you don't want to take it out. Why did you receive it?
Yes, it's true.
All right, and plus, even if you receive it against your will, it will influence you. All right, it will influence you to the point you don't want to take it out anymore.
So you're saying that something might malfunction in the mark of the beast, which could be the microchip, and that's what will cause the sores, these ulcers.
Yes.
In our days, they're advertising the microchip that it has healing properties. Well, we can show them the scripture, say, look, it's going to bring upon you some sicknesses.
No, the microchip, the mark of the beast, in fact, the microchip itself is kind of it's like a miraculous thing. It takes it takes headaches away.
And that's what they say.
You know, it makes you sexually more powerful. It says that they're going to say, they haven't yet, they're going to say it will lengthen your age. It will take you a lot of sicknesses, understand?
Mm-hmm. Take away.
It will take you a lot of sickness, yeah. Also with the help of the devil, because the devil can take sicknesses away.
I mean,
yeah, of course, easier than me and you.
How?
Yeah, because he sends it, he just has to take it back.
In that sense. You said that he can heal, he cannot
heal.
Yeah,
the devil doesn't need faith to heal people. He just needs to be less evil, just take away sickness, and to deceive people to deceive people in a greater way. It might take a sickness away, like it does through the Hindu religion. Once in a blue moon, those gurus, they heal a guy here and there. Even the witches, you go pay and they do a little miracle for you, okay?
Yeah.
But always with the intent of taking your money away, in this case, for you to worship the Antichrist. Understand?
Yes.
Okay, let's read verse 3.
Revelation 16:3.
Yeah, I remind you that these two chapters, Revelation 15 and 16, is one big paragraph.
Yes.
So Revelation 16 and 15 and 16, they're the same paragraph. Just like Revelation 21 and 22 is the same. Right?
Yes.
So these, they go together. So when you start Revelation 15, make sure you follow into Revelation 16. Is the same, all right?
Yes.
Go. Verse 3.
And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea.
Wow.
And the third angel?
You get this? I mean, it became like a stinky, filthy, horrible, repugnant, disgusting blood. Have you ever seen some blood? After a while, it becomes so horrible.
Yeah.
All right. So every
so
living soul died
everything
in the sea.
Everything in the sea will die?
Yeah, everything. The soul, not souls.
Ah.
And then every fish, it doesn't say. I don't think
what does it mean, souls? Only humans?
Humans. Yeah, fish don't have souls.
Yeah. I never looked at it that way.
Maybe also fish. I don't know. It doesn't say, but possibly also the fish. I don't know. God will have to regenerate them. I don't know what's going to happen.
Hmm.
But not only the sea, but also verse 4.
And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood.
You see, these two angels, they kind of work together in the same plague.
Okay.
Turned the sea into blood, and also the fountains of waters.
And the rivers.
You know, it's kind of a parallel what happened in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but this is much, much worse. Verse 5.
It's good to know that we are in heaven by God's grace when all these things are happening.
It's good we are in heaven, boy.
Really? Verse 5. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because Thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and Thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are Thy judgments.
Wow, you see?
Amen.
Remember, God hardened the hearts of the Egyptians and Pharaoh, so he could judge them. They deserve judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So it was too easy to say, okay, now I repent. No, just a second. First you get the spanking, which you already deserved. So that's what's going to happen.
You think this is a parallel of the 10 plagues of Egypt?
Well, it's a parallel in many ways, yes. A parallel. These are 7. Egypt, there were 10 plus the Red Sea. That's destruction. It was 11. Okay, verse 8.
And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and the power was given unto him to scorch man with fire. And men were scorched with great heat.
Wow.
And blasphemed the name of God.
You see, just a second. See here, it's like, these are the fourth angels.
Yes.
He pours into the sun. So this is the angel of the sun. And so even now, the American NASA has warned repeatedly of the sun's solar flares. This prophecy
means,
you know, the explosions in the sun.
Oh.
There are explosions in the sun that have been happening lately above normality, explosions which are higher than the whole planet Earth, the big explosions, which in the sun, you know, they're kind of, you know, proportionate, but they're big. And these explosions, they are affecting the Earth. In many ways, they're expecting to be getting worse. So these are warnings, signs of the times. So this is what's going to happen. This angel is going to cause such explosions in the sun that they will actually, the people are going to get burned. You see, verse 8, it says, power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. Of course, it will be like a material, natural scorching because of the sun. But it says that this power was given unto him, to the fourth angel, because this this plague, this natural, material, physical plague, will scorch men because of the angel signal. So it's the angel that sends it.
Yes. All right?
So the prophecy, this prophecy means that these flares will become so bad, so hot, they will actually burn people. So thank you, Lord, that. So you said we're going to be where?
In heaven, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, help us.
If we are faithful.
Amen.
Now for Jesus and even married to Jesus, okay?
Yes.
If we're not faithful, we'll be in heaven, but we'll be there like biting our fingers, say, oh, what a loss. So be faithful, okay?
Amen. Yes.
So, and blaspheme the name of God.
Verse 9. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which has power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory.
So you see, we see here
that's the most incredible thing, that they still don't repent. They still don't cry out to God.
Mm-hmm. So apparently there are some people that even though there are people with the mark of the beast, but there are other people without mark of the beast. There's going to be a kind of degrees of people. And still they don't give God the glory.
Do you think a person, you were saying earlier, a person who has the mark of the beast will not want to get it out of him, you know, and repent, basically. So this repented not is for the people without the mark of the beast?
Well, you know, it's not clear when the mark of the beast is going to be made mandatory. We don't know if it's going to be the beginning of tribulation, or if it's going to be the end of the tribulation, or if it's going to be...
But this is already the tribulation finished, what we are studying now.
Yes, but see, the Antichrist has not yet control over the whole world.
How do you know?
Well, because this is Revelation 16, chapter 16.
And when does he have full control?
Well, in Revelation 17 and 18, that's when he destroys Babylon, this great nation, which I believe is America, and many other Christians do.
Because until then, he's in war with Babylon.
Yeah, you see in Daniel chapter 11.
So that's 11, why he doesn't have full power over everybody.
Full control over the world. Over the world. Mm-hmm. See, in Daniel chapter 11, from 21 to 45, we see the whole career of the Antichrist. Within these scriptures, we see the Antichrist fighting exactly, accounted, five wars. So, and then the last war is around, I think, verse 43, 44 over there, at the very, very end, when he destroys the three horns, which in Daniel 7, 10 horns will give him power, Revelation also 17, 12, and he destroys three of them. And I believe that happens toward the end.
Yes, I understood that. But still here it's at the end of the tribulation. We are in heaven. So this repented not is for the people with the mark of the beast or for those without?
Well, it's difficult to divide here the situation, who's going to have the mark of the beast, who's not. As I said, the Antichrist fights wars after wars. Okay,
yes.
I want to give you a conclusion, all right? So if he fights war after war, we see in Daniel 11, 21, I didn't finish to explain. So if he fights war after war until verse 44, okay, so the whole 3.5 years he fights wars.
Of the tribulation.
Yeah, so how is he going to force his mark of the beast on his enemies? So it's a question mark. So the mark of the beast may or may not be implemented, forced on people in the beginning of the tribulation.
Mm-hmm. So because people are still not under his control, you mean?
Yeah, the mark of the beast will be around for sure. It's around now. The microchip is not yet the mark of the beast, but I believe that's what it's going to be turned into. But in the Revelations 13:11, it's a false prophet with the lamb's horns that deceives the world, and he says that it's the false prophet that implements the mark of the beast. He tells the world to make an image and to cause everyone to receive a mark. It's not the Antichrist that pushes the mark of the beast, also because he wants his enemies to receive it, so that when he takes over the whole world, they're already microchipped. Already marked, and he will program the mark, which I believe is the microchip, it just takes a click, to program in favor of the Antichrist. So everyone will have the mark, the microchip, the mark of the beast. And now, as long as the Antichrist is not in control, he will be under the control of whatever nations you are under. Brazil, India, China, everyone will program any way they want. You receive the microchip, one country says, okay, we're in favor of abortion. All the microchip says yes. Another country says, we're against abortion. I mean, I'd be surprised if I hear any saying that. I hope so. And everyone says yes. Like they can program the microchip to say, we are in favor of homosexuality. So they click the microchip. All the microchip are in favor of homosexuality, sodomy.
Yes.
Another country, they will not program the microchip in that direction. So until the Antichrist... takes control of the mark of the beast, you don't go to hell. But once you received it, okay, it's like even though the Antichrist is not in control, you are just, you're sticking
you're
your head
the
into
way.
The noose
yes.
and waiting for the Antichrist to pull it. So don't receive it, for
amen,
God's sake.
Amen.
The Bible is clear, don't receive it.
So in conclusion, in Daniel, go back to Daniel 11, 21, until the end, the Antichrist fights five wars. Okay, so during these five wars, I don't see the whole world receiving the mark of the beast. They will receive the mark, a microchip, but they're not, yes, they're doomed. They can still choose Jesus.
Because the way we studied in Revelation 13, I think, is that the mark of the beast will be the new financial system.
Yeah.
And then it could be, like you say, that only later it becomes imposed by the Antichrist, controlled by the Antichrist.
Yeah, in fact, if you see Revelation...
So you mean, to try to understand, they have the mark of the beast... They took it, but it's not yet forced and programmed by the Antichrist, so they could still have time to repent?
They could still
is
have
that
time
what you're
to
trying
repent,
to say?
Yes.
It's just a financial
and
system.
And then repent and take it out, by the way.
I understand.
You understand? Because the gospel will be preached. There'll be an angel in heaven, Revelation chapter 10, who will give the gospel to the world. That's going to be us who want, many of us will, even to the press or dying as martyrs, will be evangelizing.
This is during the Great Tribulation, though,
during
you're talking about.
Yes.
Okay, but here in Revelation 16, we are after. We are in heaven.
Well, during the Tribulation and even before, we are preaching the gospel, and even during the Tribulation.
Yes.
We'll be telling people, don't take the mark of the beast. If they take that, we're going to be telling, take it off. This, you can only do it until the Antichrist programs it that you cannot take it off anymore because
mm-hmm.
you don't want to.
Yeah.
Because right now, there are people who see the microchip, okay? And to go to a discotheque, you know, by, there is a discotheque in Bahia, Mexico, and Spain. There are discotheques. So it takes the microchip. They give him the microchip in order
yes.
to go in the discotheque. You
mm-hmm.
know.
Yes.
So these people are not going to hell. Not yet. It's not programmed to worship the Antichrist. So you can still take it off if you want.
Yes.
So if these guys, these kind of guys, go through the wrath of God and see these things happen, they should take it off. Or a lot of people are going to be undecided because it may not be forcibly pushed on them. So they can still decide not to take it.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know exactly when this mark of the beast is going to be pushed and implemented. It's going to be in the beginning of the tribulation, at the end, or even after. Like here, the wrath of God is after the tribulation. 30 days is the length of the wrath of God. In these 30 days, people can still take the mark of the beast or refuse it.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of people can still repent.
Yes.
Of course, there are going to be people, of course, without Mark of the Beast, that theoretically will give their heart to the devil. These guys will not repent.
So how come you said that the wrath of God is 30 days?
Well, as we studied already in Daniel 12, 11 and 12, it took a long time to explain. I'm not going to do it again.
Yes, we did.
Okay. Daniel 12, 11 and 12, it gives a space of 1,260 days of tribulation, connected to Daniel 12:7, and then it has 30 days,
mm-hmm.
1,290, and then it has another 45 days, 1,335.
Yes.
And we already explained that 1,260, the tribulation, 30 more is the wrath of God, and 45 more is Armageddon. I gave a long explanation
on
that.
Yes, you explained the chronology.
I don't think I need to do it again.
Okay.
All right, so what I'm trying to say here, that we are here after the end of the tribulation. The mark of the beast for sure has been spread everywhere, but the Antichrist is not in total control yet because he hasn't destroyed Babylon yet.
Yes,
okay?
I understand. It's clear.
So here we are in the period of the wrath of God. Okay, the trumpet number what? The trumpet number four. All right. So Babylon is destroyed in the vials number seven. Okay, so if you go down, you see, is a seven angel. Verse 17, the seven angel pours his vial into the air.
Yes.
Okay, we will study this in a few minutes.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So it's during the seven angel time that Babylon is destroyed, which will take us into Revelation 17 and 18, the two following chapters in the future.
Yes.
So now we are at the angel number four.
Yes.
Okay, and people can still repent.
Yes.
All right. Not everybody has been forced to receive the mark of the beast because Babylon is a big nation. So which one? I believe is America. You can believe what you want. Okay, so this nation is not going to receive the mark of the beast. It's fighting against the beast.
Yes.
Not because it's a Christian nation. America is not. It's just as much as the devil as the Antichrist. And God will use the Antichrist to destroy America. You can see that in Revelation 17:12. So if the Antichrist is fighting against America or whatever nation is going to be, okay, that nation is not going to receive the mark of the beast. They might have their own microchip, but not programmed to worship the beast,
yes.
Which is the only sign which implies if you do that, you go to hell.
Wait. You mean America will not receive the mark of the beast?
America will receive the microchip. They're already doing it now.
Okay.
But America will not receive the mark of the beast if it's fighting against the beast.
You mean you're trying to say that it will not be programmed by the Antichrist?
Exactly.
Okay.
So then America should be a safe place to live.
No, America is worse
because
than
because you don't go to hell if you live there. You don't get programmed and controlled.
But you go to hell in America if you don't receive Jesus and they're fighting against Jesus. They don't want God. They're getting rid of God. America is becoming, verse 4, if you read the verse, Revelation 18, verse 2, 3, and 4, you see that this became the cage of every beast, every foul spirit, every demons. America is deceiving the world. America is as bad as the Antichrist in a different way, except for the mark of the beast.
Okay, but they will not be controlled by the Antichrist, and they will not have the mark of the beast. There is no danger of going to hell. Yet it does
say... But it's not a place of refuge.
No, I understand. You said Revelation 18:4, it says, come out of her. But why?
Why? Well, listen, just go to Revelation 18:2. See, America is like... they are just as bad as the devil, just as bad as the Antichrist. In this America, lately, it's there's nothing worse than America today. I mean, even Russia... Russia is a typical dictatorship, and China, dictators.
And yet they are against homosexuality.
They are not as bad as America. Russia and China put together, they have not provoked 1% of the wars that America did.
Yes, it's true.
I mean, America is a huge multinational of war. America now is the red horse of the four horsemen of Apocalypse. Revelation 6 is the one that caused the war in Vietnam. She wants to start another one in Korea. She wants to start a war in Iran. CIA caused a revolution in Syria, and the CIA caused a revolution in Libya, and it's a hell. Syria, it's a hell of a mess. What else? Iraq, Afghanistan, America, it caused millions of deaths. America, I mean, that's where all the money of America goes, so to corrupt people, to pay revolutionaries, to start a revolution against the government. They started in Ukraine, same story. Mm-hmm. You know, they go around, they provoke hellish revolutions in order to put up puppets, okay, that they would go pro-America, like they did in Iraq. They put Maliki as a puppet. They didn't like him. He was not a very good puppet. Okay, and all these Islamic State, Islamic butchers in Iraq, is like they were financed and trained by Americans. They were supposed to be the Islamic revolutionaries against Assad of Syria, except that the most radical of them separated from the more moderate, so-called, not too moderate, they threw a bunch of, they used a lot of chemical weapons, okay, and they separated, and seeing they couldn't topple Assad in Syria, they moved toward Iraq, where America just moved out. As soon as America moved out, they moved into Iraq and took over when America left. See, America is not very wise at all. So now these Frankenstein monsters that America has created are turning against America. See, it was America who created these Islamic Frankenstein monsters in Syria, trained, financed, gave weapons and everything. Now they moved out from Syria into Iraq, and now they're causing hell and extermination and genocide over there. And now they want to go to America and wipe out America too. They say, we're going to put the Islamic flag on the White House and also on the Vatican. It's like, you see, America is continually shooting themselves in the foot because they are just... They lost every wisdom, every sense, every intelligence. They think that the mighty army is going to save them. That's going to cause their downfall. Their army is going to be their trick. They're going to be tricked. They're going to be deceived. God will use their weapons and turn the weapons against them. God is going to use the most powerful armies in the world, the Americans, on which America is trusting. That's why they think they don't need God anymore. God is going to cause their trust in their army to send them strong delusion so that they will sink. So they thinking that their army is going to save them, okay, they're going to go around keep fighting war until the Antichrist, Revelation 17, is going to destroy them in 1 hour by a sudden atomic attack. Revelation 17, 12, 13, 14, the 10 will burn the whore with fire. Wow. Okay, America right now is the worst in the world. You don't need an Antichrist. You already have America. Except America is divided. You know, Antichrist is going to have a firm grip. It's going to have a communistic firm grip along the line of Stalinism all over the world, like China is basically. But America doesn't have that. You know, America has a weakness, and that's a democracy. America is always divided. It was divided in Vietnam. They were divided in Afghanistan, in Iraq. I mean, every time they turn the news, America, they're always attacking each other. Republicans and the Democrats, cats and dogs. So America is becoming the cesspool of the world.
Wow.
I mean, since the days in 1962, they decided they didn't need God in the schools anymore, and they're trying to get God out of every place where he is, in the name of sodomy, homosexuality, lesbianism, and they don't need God anymore. You know, they have all these perverts, a bunch of perverts they have, and that's their new God. Mm-hmm. The lesbians and the homosexual and the whoremongers and the multinationals and the New World Order perverts has become their God. And America is going down. Revelation 17. Read it. Verse 12 to 14. America will be burned in 1 hour.
I think those are reasons enough to get out.
So you want to go to America because of the mark of the beast? So those guys are already marked by the devil up and down, except for a few Christians.
Yes.
And even some Christians wonder. Like John MacArthur, the false prophet, Calvin, his false prophet, saying, receive the mark of the beast, keep drinking coke and do shopping, eat hamburger, watch TV, don't worry, you repent. Either this guy is a purposely, deliberately a false prophet, or he's so deceived, he doesn't know anymore, he doesn't have any sense, this guy. Him and his Calvinistic predestination, throwing in the garbage, back to the gospel.
Amen.
Amen. So, you want to read some scripture about America, which I believe is a Babylon, Revelation 18, 2 to 4?
Okay. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth were waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Amen.
Revelation 17:12, she would be burned with fire.
17:12. And the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Continue.
No, that's it. Okay, now read the Revelation 18:8.
Revelation 18:8. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judged her.
Okay. 18:8 and 10.
18:8. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, that I read. 8. Verse 8.
Yeah, sorry, I mean.
Verse 10.
Yes.
Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come.
See, 1 hour, one day, judge. If you read Revelation 17 and 18, it's talking about nations, even though people try to apply to the Catholic Church, some Protestants guy, but it's not exactly correct. Okay, it's talking about a country that... rules all over the world, that's materialism. It's a spirit of materialism. Okay, Babylon is actually a spirit of materialism. And now it's been moving from country to country, from empire to empire. It's a demon. And now it's moved into America. As you can see, America has become the number one materialistic capital of the world.
Yes.
Okay, where are we? So that's why about, this is all about people blaspheming God, and not repenting. Did you finish
in Revelation
9?
16.
69?
Yes, I read 9.
Yes, are at the fifth angel left.
Okay, repeat verse 9 again.
And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which has power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory.
You understand? So at this point, the people following the Antichrist beast will know that this is God's tribulation against them. So they are blaspheming God. Not only one hand they don't repent, the other hand they blaspheme God. So a continuation, basically, of God's curses upon them, which were initiated by God's two witnesses, Revelation 11, verse 5 and 6, if you want to read them, or do you remember them?
Yeah, we studied. Yes.
Okay, they send God's two witnesses and plagues and national catastrophes against the nations following the Antichrist. They can strike the whole earth. They're going to be planetarian disasters, at which time you better be part of the woman hiding in the wilderness.
Amen.
In the place where you'll be protected, okay?
Amen.
All right, so we also see the terrible lies by the people who say, receive the mark of the beast, you repent afterwards. You're not going to repent afterwards. You will blaspheme God afterwards. Mm-hmm. Okay, because the mark of the beast is not going to make you repent. It's going to make you turn you against God. It's going to make you become like a little demon. Okay, you're going to hate God. Okay, and God, and the more God is going to spank you. So it's terrible. Verse 8. Where are you?
Verse 10. Revelation 16:10.
10, okay, go.
And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain.
Wow, they will bite in the tongues, so bad will be the pains they receive from the wrath of God.
When it says that he will pour out his vial upon the seat of the beast, it means in his country, or what?
Yes, it means, go to 2 Thessalonians 2, please. It means that he's either talking about, wherever the seat of the beast will be, and there is only two potential capital in the world where the seat of the beast will be.
Which are those?
The first one is Brussels, which is the capital of the 10 nations that will give power to the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. That's the seat of the beast, the European Parliament. And the second potential I can think of is Jerusalem, because as it says in 2 Thessalonians 2:4.
Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
Okay, if you go to also Daniel 11,
yes,
verse 44-45, talks about the capital of the Antichrist.
11:45. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain.
Okay, that's Jerusalem, Mount Moriah.
Ah.
He shall plant his tabernacle
on the holy mountain.
On the holy mountain. He will make that his base.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like you just read the 2 Thessalonians 2:4, once he is there, he will sit there in the temple of God, claiming to be God.
Yes.
So.
And God will pour a specific vial upon his place.
Yeah,
specifically for him.
So I don't know if it's going to be in Jerusalem or on Brussels. One of the two, you understand?
Mm-hmm, yes.
We'll figure out, because definitely it's not against the Jews, who by then would be Christians.
Yes.
But God knows who are his people, and even in the case of plagues.
But all the Jews will be Christian, or some of them?
Well, it says in Revelation 11, there was
an earthquake. It says the remnant.
Yeah, there'll be 7,000 people will be killed in an earthquake, and the remnant shall give glory to God.
So some?
Yeah, I don't know exactly that. It was God, not many. I'm sorry.
Okay,
I don't have a calculator to know exactly. It says, I can tell you what the scripture says, Revelation 11, it's an earthquake, 7,000 will die, probably all the hard heads, and the rest, the sheepy, the more sheepy, God will spare for conversion.
Amen.
So the 7,000, probably all the sodomites, all the weirdos, all the hard heads, the people who love Moses more than Jesus, and they will be there in the earthquake. That's my guess. Now, don't ask me to be dogmatic. I don't know.
Yes,
sir. So what's next?
Verse 11. And blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds.
Okay, so you can tell this to dear Pastor MacArthur. Tell him sorry. If you take the mark of the beast, he says that again, he repeats, blaspheme God of heaven, and repented not. Somebody should write to Mr. MacArthur and tell him. Say, Mr. MacArthur, I'm sorry. You cannot repent because you will be blaspheming God and not repenting. God is going to blast you and get the stick on you and lower his rod in your head so hard that you will blaspheme him, because plus the mark of the beast is going to make it worse. Mm-hmm. Verse 12. Here we pass on the sixth angel.
And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared.
Okay, probably the king of the east, I believe, is going to be some Antichrist nations from the east, which the river Euphrates is obstructing, hindering the crossing. We're talking about Revelation 9, it gives a number of the soldiers that will cross the Euphrates, 200 million soldiers.
Oh, wow.
With tanks and
whatnot. That's a great army.
Yeah, whatnot. It's like a river like this is going to, you know, you can make bridges, but bridges are bottlenecks. Mm-hmm. So God is going to allow the devil to drive the Euphrates so they can just go straight.
So all these guys are coming from the east.
Yeah, I believe there's going to be some antichrist nation from the east, like Islamic countries like Afghanistan, Pakistan, Indonesia, and also some very antichrist nation called China.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you're talking about Revelation 9, 200 million soldiers crossing and coming, approaching to the place of Armageddon, okay, to north of
that's why they're coming.
That's why they
come. For the battle of Armageddon.
They come to be destroyed. God is bringing them there. God put some honey so that the flies come. The honey is Jerusalem. So all the flies, Muslim, Chinese, and the Christ, Gomer, Europe, you know, they come for the honey. Oh, now let's go for the kill. Let's go take over Jerusalem. That's why the women will be ravished, raped, because the Muslim believe in that, raping the women when they conquer a place. So all these nations are going to come. So the Euphrates will be dried up, that the ways of the kings of the east might be prepared.
Yes.
Okay, so
yes.
Go ahead.
Verse 13. Yeah. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophets.
Boy, these guys, what a stomach they have, full of devils. 14.
For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty.
It is that God is attracting them to come and get the cake. It's called Jerusalem. They come. In fact, in Ezekiel 38, he says, I will put hooks in the jaws of the beast, of the Antichrist, Gog, and I'll pull you into Israel, so that I can destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing, eh?
Yes.
So, basically, as you see, verse 14, it says these devils are working miracles. Remember, Revelation 13, there's a false prophet that works miracles?
Yes.
Okay, so it's the same.
The same thing.
So these frogs are spirits of devils that work miracles?
They work miracles, yes.
Wow.
So in other words, there are going to be miracles happening. I expect some...
Miracles from the devil.
From the devils, yes. Mm-hmm. I expect some... demons to be to appear disguising themselves as UFO and aliens. Okay, they will do all kinds of supernatural miracle, demonic power. They will do like making them look like scientific feats to deceive the world. All right, and so they will deceive the whole world. The whole world doesn't have is not the Book of the Lamb. Also, a lot of Christians will be deceived.
Those of the Book of the Lamb are up in heaven.
Well. Not exactly, because there's going to be some people who will be saved in the process. Some of the left behind, they will get saved. The Jews will get saved after the rapture.
So
Zechariah 12 says...
You mean new converts.
Zechariah 12 says, I will pour my Holy Spirit, spirit of repentance and mercy and grace, spirit of grace, and they shall look unto me whom they pierced. So the Jews will get converted between the rapture and Armageddon. And some of those guys will be in the Book of the Lamb. Do you understand?
Okay, I understand. Yes. The new converts.
And then yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we are right in the middle here, okay? We are approaching to the battle of Armageddon. Look, go to Revelation 9:13, look.
Revelation 9:13.
Yeah, it's a parallel, all right?
And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had a trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates.
So these are demons, okay? The demons, angels, bound by the river Euphrates. Verse 15.
And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them.
Okay, some Bible says straight to 200 million.
Mm-hmm.
So, in this now, what's happening here, like, is an incredible army. It may be a huge nation like China going to send to back up the Antichrist. He's going to be leading Europe. He's going to be leading 10 nations of Europe, okay? And then also the Muslims. So, the Muslim, 10 nations of Europe, okay, and China. We already explained about why Europe follows the Antichrist, because of Daniel chapter 7.
Yes.
Okay, the fourth beast, Rome, 10 horns, 10 nations will give power to the beast, okay?
Yes.
I don't need to go back.
So the drying of the river Euphrates happens during the Great Tribulation, Revelation 9.
No, it happens during the wrath of God.
So why does it appear in Revelation 9, the sixth trumpet?
Yeah, the preparation. That's toward the end of the... In other words, the river can even dry during the tribulation, but yes, they will cross during the wrath of God.
Yes, they will cross there.
In fact, it's already happened.
They will cross during the Armageddon, but they will dry it up
but
before.
But they already dried
it's the same event.
Yeah, it's the same event, yes. Mm-hmm. In fact, they already dried the Euphrates. Like Turkey has built the Ataturk Dam. There are a series of 22 dams, the biggest in the world. They actually dry the whole Euphrates. And they had to open it again because Iran and Syria said they were going to make war. They didn't open it. They didn't open it.
Because they stopped the water.
Yeah, because the river goes through Iran. Like
of
that.
Course.
So they have the means to stop the Euphrates already.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
So it's going to take nothing.
But the army will cross during the wrath of God. So, but the Euphrates river can be dried
yes.
any time
okay.
God decides. Okay.
Yes.
So that's when the 200 million soldiers that cross. So then he talks, we read, that one-third part of the men being killed. Okay,
yes.
We talked in the past saying this is probably an atomic war between the India, China, because that's the only place that a third of the world's population can be killed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
However, this, you know, it's not that we can be dogmatically sure of this, because when he says... one-third part, it could also be referring to one-third of these 200 million soldiers that cross the Euphrates.
Mm-hmm.
Understand?
How you think?
Well, see, it's like we cannot be exactly sure that
that it's from the whole world, you mean?
That is one-third of the whole planet, mm-hmm. because you see...
well, we hope it's not.
Well, exactly. I prefer not to be at all, but it's saying, if you go back to Revelation 9, it says... the sixth angel, 9:13-16, sixth angel sounds, and then the four angels are being loosed in the great river Euphrates, and the four angels, which are prepared for an hour and a day, to slay a third part of men. In other words, the four angels by the Euphrates, they were prepared to slay a third part.
Yes.
So does that mean that there's
it could
the
be only
slaying
there,
could be a local...
Yes.
Regional war around the Euphrates, or is it going to be like a third of the planet? We don't know. It's like we can never be dogmatic on these things.
I see.
Understand? So we have to leave it like this with a question mark, which it could only be only 70 million, only in quotes, mm-hmm. you know, 70 million soldiers died. It's a huge war.
Yes, yes. It is.
But in Daniel 11, it says that the Christ will be many, many slain in his wars. Then we see that the 200 million eventually invade Israel. We see that by Ezekiel 38. And with the Antichrist together leading them. And this is the Battle of Armageddon.
Yes.
So these 200 million are headed to Armageddon. If the war is a local war, then it will be 130 million left. Still a lot of soldiers. Okay.
Yes, yes,
compare 130 million soldiers, all soldiers, against the population of Jews of 7 million altogether,
yes.
including
yes.
Women, old people,
yes.
and children.
Yes.
So you can see that there's not much Israel can do. But they cannot invade Israel as long as America is around, because America is traditionally on the side of Israel.
Yes.
Okay, but since America is going to be wiped out when Babylon will be destroyed, Revelation 17, at that point, America is destroyed. Okay, Antichrist enters Israel. Got that?
Yes.
Got
yes.
It. Verse 15.
Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame.
Wow. So, as you see, Jesus comes as a thief. Let's remember what Jesus said in Revelation 3, verse 3. He said this also to the churches. Brethren, we need to watch and keep our garment white and clean, like
three
Jesus
verse
told
three.
The churches. We need, go ahead.
Revelation 3:3.
Yeah.
Remember therefore how thou hast received and learned, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee.
Got that?
Are you used to this? Is this the same, like it says somewhere, the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night?
Yeah.
Is that the same?
Well, Revelation 3 is talking to the church 2,000 years ago. It's a principle you can apply that God operates like this sometimes.
Yeah, but you used to teach when you talked about the rapture and the tribulation that Jesus doesn't come as a thief for the Christians.
No, not for the rapture. In that case, no, because the rapture, he comes to save the church, not as a thief to surprise the church.
Yeah, it's in Thessalonians 5:2, First Thessalonians. You yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night.
Okay.
This is Armageddon.
But yes, the day of the Lord, yes, that's Armageddon, of course.
All right. So then it's clear the confusion, but some people say this is the rapture, and that's why we'll be raptured.
See, the mistake some churches make is that they apply this to the rapture.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. But this is not talking about the rapture. All right. They say he comes as a thief in the night. Therefore, as a thief, he comes before the tribulation and he steals the church. No, sorry. He comes after the tribulation, which means you can count seven years and then 3.5 years.
Yes.
You know, you have 7 years warning and then 3.5 years warning, etc.
In fact, right after it says there is sudden destruction.
Yeah. But this some teacher, they apply this to the rapture. See, Jesus comes as a thief, so we don't know. Wrong. He says that the day of the Lord comes as a thief.
As a thief in the night, yeah.
Which we know is Armageddon.
Exactly. This 1 Thessalonians 5:2, it's a parallel of Revelation 16:15. Would you like to read it again?
Yeah, it's the same words they use.
Yes. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame.
Okay, what is he talking about here? Armageddon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in fact, the next scripture even spells it out. Can you read it?
And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon.
Okay, in this time, he came as a thief to the people who still don't want to get saved, who are still wondering if they should take the mark of the mark of the beast or not. And some people already received, and some people will receive it. See, we don't know exactly when it will be forced on everybody.
So what does it mean, blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments?
Well, blessed, it means blessed is he that keeps his lamp full of oil. Blessed is he that keeps being Christian. Blessed is he that doesn't fall into the pit of the Sodomites. Blessed is he that doesn't become a gay. Blessed is he that doesn't take the mark of the beast. Blessed is he who continue faithful in Jesus Christ.
So even now, before Armageddon, people can still get saved.
Yeah, the people who didn't take the mark of the beast and don't worship the beast.
Yes.
See, in Daniel, which is exactly a parallel of this, so Daniel 12:12, it says, blessed is he, it says, that waits and comes to the 1,335 days.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a parallel again.
It's true.
Because Daniel 12:12, it's talking about the wrath of God. The wrath of God and Armageddon. Okay, in fact, to be more specific, Daniel 12:11, it is the wrath of God, 30 days. Daniel 12:12, it's Armageddon, 45 days. Okay, so it says, blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,335 days. Why? Because at the end of Armageddon begins the millennium.
Yes.
Got that?
Yes.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Okay, so basically, verse 16, we are in Revelation 16.
Yes.
So spells Revelation, it out, Armageddon.
Yeah. Revelation 16 spells it out, Armageddon, it comes a thief.
Yes.
Now, what's Armageddon? If you look in the maps, in the best maps in the world, the geographical maps, every map you want to look at, and you look for Armageddon, what do you find?
Nothing.
Nothing. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist in the best maps, and not even in the worst. It just doesn't exist because Armageddon is not a place.
So?
It's a parable. It's a parable-like word.
Can you decipher it?
Okay. You can only, the only map you find this place is Revelation 16:16.
Okay, so
only, this is the only place.
So then what do we tell people? It doesn't exist?
Okay, no, it's like this actually, no, it's actually, it's very famous and everybody talks about it. It's in the Bible.
Yes, it is famous.
So Armageddon, it's a combination of words which comes from Ar, Megiddo, and Esdraelon.
Ar, Megiddo.
Ar, comma, Megiddo, and Esdraelon.
Esdraelon.
That's where you get the words Armageddon.
Okay.
So Ar, it means a mount. Okay. Megiddo, it's a city.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. And Esdraelon is a valley.
So mountain.
So Megiddo. From Ar they get the letters AR. From Megiddo they get the letters MEG, and from Esdraelon they get the letters EDION.
Edon.
Which all you put this all together, you get Armageddon. Do you understand?
And what does that mean?
It means that from the valley near the city, okay, near the city of Megiddo, there's going to be this great battle. So it means that these guys are coming near Megiddo
and that you
in
can
the
find
valley
on the
of
map.
Esdraelon. Okay, so like
and that you can find on the map.
These three things, yes.
All right.
Are Megiddo and Esdraelon?
So
yes.
It is a physical place which exists.
This, yes, Megiddo and Esdraelon, yes. That's where Armageddon comes from because mm-hmm. you see, Ar means mount. Megiddo is a city 300 meters high, okay, which is a little mountain made of the debris of the 27 cities destroyed in the space of thousands of years. It's a city that was guarding the passage of Megiddo, which is the two mountains. So there is only a passage. And that the only way you can go from Africa into Turkey, into Asia. It's the only passage. So the passage, it goes from northern Israel into Syria, and then Turkey, and then Asia. So the basically, every world empire always conquered that. And that's why they had this city, the city of Megiddo, was guarding this passage. And every time, like a power went down, like it fell off from power, from being the strongest nation, the controlling this, that city would be destroyed. They would make mm-hmm. a siege and destroy. And it was destroyed 27 times.
Wow.
So there are 27 layers of debris which they formed a mountain.
Hmm.
Okay,
amazing.
It's a 300 meters mountain, I forgot the many meters, which is called the Mount of Megiddo.
Hmm.
It's not a mountain, it's just a bunch of debris put together, mm-hmm. one on top of the other. Do you understand? That's where
yes.
the word Armageddon comes from.
Yes, interesting, very interesting.
Okay, in fact, if you read yes. Ezekiel 38:11,
okay.
It talks about the Antichrist when he invades Israel. Because it says, into your jaws I will put my hooks and I will drag you into Israel. Why? I just want to kill you and destroy you, Gog. That's the Antichrist. And God will kill him right there in the Valley of Armageddon. All right, read it.
Ezekiel 38, what?
Ezekiel 39, 11.
39:11. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea, and it shall stop the noses of the passengers, and they shall bury Gog and all his multitudes, and they shall call it the Valley of Hamon Gog.
Understand? So the Valley of Hamon Gog, Gog will be killed because he's going to be killed there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So and
Gog is the Antichrist.
Yeah, the Antichrist. So this place is going to be east of the sea. So if you look at Israel, it's a long, west of Israel is the Mediterranean Sea. So Armageddon will be on the east of the sea, you understand?
Yes.
So that's why it says, yeah, give you a place on the east of the sea. Read also verse 4 to 6.
Ezekiel 39?
Yeah.
4 to 6. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. And I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured.
See, this is a parallel of Battle of Armageddon, Revelation 19:11, when God sends the birds to kill the flesh of the soldiers that God destroys in the Battle of Armageddon.
Mm-hmm. 5. And thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, says the Lord God.
See, the open field is another terminology of Armageddon, because the Valley of Esdraelon, or Armageddon, it's a big field.
Okay.
There was many military people say this is a perfect place for a battle.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is the little mountains to put your guns, there's a valley to put your army. Perfect place. Go.
7.
Well, continue where you are.
6. And I will send a fire on Magog, and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord.
All right, so the fire, you can see that in Joel chapter 2, because it says that when we arrive with horses following Jesus, we'll destroy the followers, the armies that follow Gog, the Antichrist, will destroy them with fire.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, and they shall know that I am the Lord when he destroys them. And also it says here that he will send fire on them that dwell carelessly in the isles.
Who are those?
It means the nations that where these Antichrist armies come from. Mm-hmm. These Antichrist armies, they must come from someplace.
Yes.
China, Europe, Iran, whatever. Mm-hmm. He will destroy them too. Mm-hmm. So they are there carelessly watching TV and eating ice cream. Mm-hmm. And God will destroy
true,
them too.
It's true.
You understand?
It's true, yes.
Revelation 16:17.
And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done."
It is done. See, the air, unlike such as the water, is differently. The air reaches everything on the planet, okay? You know, when the water got contaminated, you had to go to the water to get contaminated with blood or mm-hmm. poison or whatever. Now, this... angels, the seven, this is the last one.
Yes.
It pours into the air. In other words, this will affect the whole earth now.
Hmm.
All right? So here comes the worst of the worst of God's wrath. This is the apex. This is it. Okay, until now, little games. Now comes the big. Okay? And this is the highest tribulations and God's vengeance upon they that tribulated us. Look, read that scripture, Romans 12:19. So if you can please go to Hebrews 10:30, Dora.
Yes.
So Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.
Amen. So is the day I come for the Lord's vengeance.
Yes.
The day of the Lord. Hebrews 10:30-31.
For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, says the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Okay, this is something that the devil will find out, that the Christ will find out, all the demons will find out, and all the Antichrist people, the mark of the beast, will find out. So when from heaven we will see all this, we will feel so guilty, beloved, unconvicted and unworthy that God has spared us by his Calvary.
Amen.
Because that we were supposed to have placed together with them.
Mm. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, he didn't save us because we were good Catholic or good evangelicals. Or because we are so holy or because we are so... He saved us because of the blood from the cross.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, remember that our place was with these guys.
Mm.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Revelation 16:18.
And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great.
Wow, this is the end of the chapter. So,
is this the destruction of Babylon? Because it mentions here.
This is the destruction of USA, Babylon, which is the next chapter, 17 and 18.
But this happens during Armageddon?
This happens before Armageddon, all right, and after the seventh angel, the seventh vial, it's announcement of destruction of Babylon, it's announcement of the earthquake, and it's announcement of Armageddon. It's all
because
inside.
Like Armageddon,
they're all inside the seventh vial of wrath, all these events.
Armageddon is the sixth vial, and Babylon is the seventh.
No. Go back to the sixth again.
Yes.
What is that?
12. And the 12. Sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates.
Okay.
And then talks about how the kings are gathering and Armageddon, no?
And, well, if you read carefully, it says these are 14. These are spirits of devils,
yes,
working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth.
To gather them to battle.
To gather them. So mm-hmm. This is not the battle, this is the gathering.
Ah, this is just the moving of the army and the preparation for the battle.
This is the... God is setting them up so he can destroy them.
But
so
the battle didn't happen. the battle didn't happen yet.
Not yet.
So first is the preparation, yeah, then is Babylon, then is Armageddon.
Yeah, you see, it's like...
Is that the chronology?
Yeah, they crossed the river Euphrates, all right? Yeah. So they position themselves after the river. That is like, Turkey, Syria, the position over there. But they cannot invade Israel yet because Babylon, America is still defending Israel.
In fact, when they talked about Armageddon in verse 16, I was wondering, but how come it doesn't mention Jesus coming back
destroying them? No, that's not the battle yet. It's the gathering.
I understand, yeah.
It's the preparation. It's clear. It's very clear.
Okay. So if you read the Revelation 17 and 18, two chapters, it's like if you, with an unbiased mind, if your mind is not closed, you will see that it's not talking about the religion, the Catholic Church, like the Adventists are saying. And a few others. It's talking about America because only America fits the picture. This is the great city that rules all over the earth, it says. Okay, we will study this in the next chapter, 17 and 18. But for now, just have a little patience. I know that there is a lot of wrong teaching around because some Protestants are trying to blame every evil of the world in the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church does the opposite.
Yes.
It's like, please stop that, okay?
Man.
So don't just point fingers. Mm-hmm. Churches are pretty bad, all churches, okay? And some churches are even worse. And some churches have a percentage of demonism inside. But to understand Bible prophecies, you need to get over that.
Amen.
All right? So you need to... The devil is the devil, and the Christ is the Christ, the mark of these people are the mark of these people. Like everyone has his cross. Laodicea is Laodicea. So everyone has a different degree, a different situation, different position, different judgment, different evil. Okay, so when you read the Revelation 17 and 18, which we will study next after this, in the next sessions, open your mind. Don't read the Bible, try to prove your Protestant doctrines or your Catholic, whatever
they
are.
Yes.
Read the Bible to understand what God is trying to tell you.
Yes.
Just forget you are a Protestant, an evangelic, or a Catholic. You are a child of God.
Amen.
Make sure your name is in the Book of the Lamb. Make sure you're going to heaven. And forget all the teaching you received until now.
Amen.
All right? Thanks and then you'll understand, and then you'll run through Bible prophecy. Because the moment you become an evangelical or a Catholic reading the prophecies, you'll understand according to whatever teaching you received in their seminaries. Please go to the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Use
scripture for you guys. 1 John 2:20 and 27. It says, the Holy Spirit will anoint you and guide you and teach you all things. You need nobody to teach you. A little kindergarten, yeah, we could use. It's a blessing when some kind of a church, or me or you, we can lead people to Jesus and get saved, the Holy Spirit, teaching the basic. But then, we shouldn't be greedy, like jealous parents who don't want to never let the children go get married with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Let them get married with Jesus. Let them free. They don't have to be Catholic or evangelical all their life. Let them be Christians. Let them belong to Christ and not to your church. They want to come to your church, it has to be because your church is full of love, not because you condemn them to hell if they don't.
Amen.
Okay, so anyway, this about Babylon, it's USA, and you will see.
Yes.
So,
to ask you, in verse 19, what's the great city which was divided in three parts of the earthquake?
Yeah, there's going to be an earthquake, you see, if you go back. You see,
we read verse 18.
It said there was an earthquake like since... such as was not since men were upon the earth. So this earthquake will divide the city into three parts.
Which city?
Well, city is Babylon. Okay, see.
So it will divide America into three parts?
It will divide America in three parts. In fact, there were some prophets. So America received an earthquake and the Atlantic Ocean connected to the Pacific Ocean.
Oh, wow.
After the earthquake.
Yeah. And because America will be destroyed, we'll explain that when we get there, by atomic sudden surprise attack, it will become a radioactive desert during the millennium. Nobody will live there. We will see in the next chapter.
It's terrible.
So, the Antichrist cannot destroy America because of nuclear retaliations. You see, there are submarines, with the atomic missiles. They can retaliate from anywhere in the globe. So everybody's scared to do an atomic attack because they get destroyed too eventually.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But here is what's going to happen. God is going to help the Antichrist, okay?
Why?
Yeah, but he will send this earthquake and will blast Babylon into three different... It will break it up, and all the defense will collapse, like all the satellites, computerized network will collapse. They will become like a radar. Their radars will become blind. They cannot see anything anymore. They don't know what's going on anymore. So the submarines, they cannot receive communications anymore. Nobody knows what's going on.
Because of the earthquake.
Yeah, it's like the earthquake, yeah, will just wipe
obliterate
out all the American,
everything.
Yeah, American defense. Maybe half of them will be destroyed just by the earthquake. But the other half will be destroyed by the Antichrist's sudden attack. Mm-hmm. See, the Antichrist cannot destroy America because of the nuclear retaliations. So God at this point sends the earthquake, divides America. It says, how does it say?
19, yeah. And the great city was divided into three parts.
Understand? Three parts. The United States will be divided in three parts. All right? And at this point, the U.S. defenses, including satellites and everything, will disconnect. Mm-hmm. And the U.S. will have nothing to show them what the Antichrist's block is doing.
Yes.
They don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. So the Antichrist seizes the opportunity and attacks Babylon, USA, as we see in the following three chapters, Revelation 17, 18, and 19.
You said after the earthquake that the Atlantic and Pacific Ocean will unite.
Well,
is that
I didn't say. Some Christian prophets envisioned that, which I believe it's probably correct.
Is that what it means, verse 20? And every island fled away and the mountains were not found?
Verse 20. Every island fled away. No, this is something else. It means that the mountains will fall down all over the Everest will collapse. We don't need that anymore.
You mean all over the world?
In America?
No, the whole world, the mountains will fall down. Because if there is an earthquake so big that will divide America in three parts. In fact, it says here, read again about 18, it says, there was such a great earthquake that was not since the men were upon the earth. So mighty earthquake. So the mountains, it says, will fall down. See, this Mount Everest, 9,000 meters, they fall down.
So it's not just in America?
All over the world.
No,
it says, verse 18, it says, since the men were upon the earth. He's talking about the whole planet. You know, the skyscrapers will fall down. The man-made mountains will fall down, like earth. The skyscrapers.
Do you think also other nations will be
the whole world
affected? Because verse 19 it says the cities of the nations fell.
The whole world.
Okay, so it will affect the whole earth.
Yeah, the cities. You see, right now they're building the skyscrapers. You go to the Gulf, Dubai. They're making skyscrapers of 700 meters high. Glory. The new Babylon, the new Tower of Babel, they will fall down like garbage.
Mm-hmm.
You keep building, build. They fall down, you know. They fall on their heads. So it's going to be an earthquake. And because of this, the Antichrist will have time to attack and destroy. See, because the U.S. defenses, including satellites, will be disconnected. So they don't know what the Antichrist is doing. So the Antichrist at this point will jump, say, oh, look how lucky I am.
Mm-hmm.
Because God wants to use Antichrist, the devil, to destroy another part,
yes.
Another type of devil, America. Just like you use the Stalinist Russia, communist, to fight against Hitler. Okay, then, the rest is history.
Yes.
So God uses an evil nation against another evil nation. Understand? So then what happens? The Christ launches a sudden atomic attack against America, which will not have any radars, because after an earthquake like this, the country gets divided in three sections. My goodness, everything is leveled. All your electric, all the grid, the electricity, everything is off. I mean, it will take them, I don't know how many years, to recover whatever is recoverable.
Mm-hmm.
But the Antichrist, what does he do? Revelation 17, can you read Revelation 17?
What verse?
13, 14, they were about burning the whore.
13 and 14. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast.
You know, the 10 horns, Daniel 7, which are 10 nations from Europe who will support the Antichrist.
This shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful.
So what did you say about burning the... find
16,
the scripture we
16.
16.
And the 10 horns which you saw upon the beast, this shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire.
Okay, so this the ten shall give power to the beast.
Yes.
Then all together shall hate the whore, okay, and shall burn in 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was a Catholic Church in Rome. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, the Europe attacking Rome is like...
Yeah.
I think Rome is going to be blown up. I think it will be. For sure. Because by who? The Antichrist and the false prophet, fire from heaven, etc. They don't want the Catholic Church and the Pope because you see, they don't want a Christian leader to influence the world. So easily they will put like the false prophet in charge of the Catholic Church, which will tell the world to take them the mark of the beast, understand? But anyway, this we can study later, the next chapter, okay, in detail. It's a long story.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So do you have any more questions? Or?
So if I understood right, then there is, let me see, there is the tribulation, the resurrection, the rapture, the wrath of God on the earth upon the people with the mark of the beast. Then there is all these vials, all this destruction happening. And finally, the
Armageddon,
the nations gathering, the great army gathering in the valley here in Armageddon.
They're preparing there. And then as they're preparing...
First, there is the destruction of Babylon.
That's it. As they're preparing to cross the river Euphrates to prepare for Armageddon, they position themselves around Syria over there. Okay, they start entering Israel, whatever.
Yes.
So there's a great earthquake.
And there's going to be the destruction of Babylon.
Babylon.
And then there is the battle of Armageddon with the Antichrist against Jesus.
Yes, the earthquake signals the Antichrist is trying to attack. Now those guys have no defense. Mm-hmm. The radar defense is gone. Attack, they burn the whole America, the United States, possibly Canada, some Mexico over there. It's going to be a bad place to be. Okay, and they will destroy it. At the same time, there is any base in the world, you know, any base around the world with big atomic bases, and the Christ might attack those too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there is a lot of, America have a lot of atomic bases everywhere around the world. Whatever they're going to have left, probably all the ones in Europe, they're going to kick them all out. Okay, but whatever they have around the world, islands here and there, they might attack those too.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. But anyway,
yes, we'll
it's not a good place to be where Americans are. They're doomed. They don't need God. God has departed. They don't have the Lord's protection. They don't have the Lord's wisdom. They will have the Antichrist distractions with God's permission. Amen. So I think that's about
it. There will be a lot of destruction and pain and suffering. But what's comforting is to know that even now, at the end, when the devil is so much in control, there is still the light of Jesus and his salvation available for anybody who wants to call on his name.
For anyone who wants to repent.
Well, it's just wonderful.
Knowing all these things, what are we supposed to do?
Warn them.
Warn them, and we're supposed to prepare. And anybody listening, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to just continue serving the world, hoping that the world, like the politicians are saying, tomorrow will be better than yesterday. Forget it. Tomorrow will be a nightmare. I mean, if today is bad, tomorrow will be worse. So what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to run. Jesus said, run to the mountains, Matthew 24. So I tell you, if you want to be in God's will, you need to just move. Because he said the woman fled into the wilderness in Revelation 12:14. So, some brethren sometimes they think, oh, maybe I wonder if I am in a good place here. Tell you, if you are in the West, you are in a horrible place. Anywhere in the West, Canada, Australia, England, Europe, United States, wherever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, better than these places is Israel, because Israel, for sure, they will have to last until they get converted. They'll have a hard time and everything, but they have God's protection. Israel as a nation will be there until the Islamic hordes will invade and start raping everybody. It will be around the wrath of God, Armageddon over there. So it's a long way to go.
Yes.
So take Jesus, receive Jesus, love Jesus, follow Jesus, listen to Jesus, go to the place he has for you, and he has a place for you and
Amen.
Me. Okay, we praise the Lord that we just forsook the hell of a place, Europe, which is just getting just as bad as America. They're just about competing with the most devilish. And we are here in South America, praise God. So
Amen.
I suggest you guys do the same and find a place in the world wherever God leads you, whether it's here or somewhere else. If you come over here, come, we'll give you a hand to see what we can do for you. In the name of Jesus Christ,
Amen.
So prepare.
Thank you, Lord.
And don't think maybe God wants me to stay here. No, God doesn't want you to stay there, because it says the woman fled into the wilderness. So wherever you are, woman is the bride of Christ, you're supposed to flee. Okay, there is not a place in the West you're supposed to stay. You're supposed to flee. Wherever you are, you need to flee into the wilderness. What is a wilderness? Away from churches, away from these dead churches, these sleepy churches, these Laodicea churches. They will betray you like they betrayed us many times. I mean, so instead of helping us, they just give us trouble after trouble. Not to us only, but just about every disciple, every prophet, every missionary. The number one problem is always the same. The Laodiceans, the religious people, the Sunday morning dead people. Those guys worship denomination instead of Jesus. They worship the Christian denomination instead of Christ. So get away from those guys. Those guys are just a lot of them, there are so many Judas among them, it's amazing. All they think is money, religious building, etc. Okay? So go to Jesus, find the place where to go, ask him where to go. And remember, if you are in the West, you're not supposed to stay no matter where you are, because it says the woman fled into the wilderness. Revelation 12:14.
So nobody's supposed to stay in the West? But what if God speaks to them supernaturally?
Fine, but then you have to find a place in the West where it's wilderness. It could be a mountain, it can be whatever. You know, but you cannot stay where you are, because they know who you are and they're going to come and look for you.
So are you saying that every Christian is supposed to get out of the West?
Well, for sure they won't. What I'm saying is, if you remain in the West, you better flee to the wilderness, or at least be ready, have a place in the wilderness ready. What's a wilderness? Where there is no religion, no official religion, etc. So if you feel called to stay in the West, or you don't have any money, you cannot get out, you can stay in the West, but you need to flee to the wilderness still. You can remain in the West, but into the Western wilderness. In this time, because it says clearly, Revelation 12:14, flee to the wilderness. The woman fled to the wilderness. You cannot stay where you are. You have to flee. So either you flee to another nation or continent, or at least to another location in the West. Jesus said flee to the mountain. Mountains are the best place to go. If there is no mountains, at least a place where you can hide in some respect, that they don't know who you are, understand?
Or like you often taught, that even if you have to stay in the West, whether the Lord called you supernaturally or you don't have the means to get out, at least prepare a place of refuge there.
Exactly. A mountain, so a place where you can survive, that people are not going to come and kill you for a kilo of bread. You know, don't go in a place where you live luxuriously with a luxurious thing here and there. No, you have to go in a place that you don't stick out.
Yes.
And the place you can survive depends if it's cold, if it's hot, if you're in a... Depends. If you're in a cold place, you have to survive in the cold. All right?
Yes.
Amen. So then nobody can hear from the Lord to stay exactly where they are and live exactly in the same place like now? And
that's what some people told us, in fact. Is why the Lord called me to stay where I am.
Yes.
I'm here in New York. I'm here in London. Or I'm here in a nice place in Italy or in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
No, Jesus said you have to flee. It's a prophecy. See, Revelation 12:14 and also verse 6, it says flee. The woman fled. Jesus said in Matthew 24 that a lot of people won't even have time to go pick up a jacket, documents, passport, your baby, your wife.
Yes.
You have to forsake your wife, your baby, your passport, your clothes, because you'd be so much with your pants down in the middle of the river, unprepared. You slept all the time, maybe singing in churches. But when the time comes, you're so late, you have to forsake your family. Don't make sure you're not one of those, for God's sake. The time to prepare is now. Either you flee now, you move now like I did, or prepare a place where to go at the drop of a hat.
Mm-hmm.
And don't even wait for the mark of the beast, tribulation and stuff like that. There can be a financial crisis. Your money is going to be worth nothing. You're not going to have food to even eat. Find a place for survival where you can have food for a few months, where you have 100, 200, 300 kilos of food, whether it's rice, this and that, cereals, and water. Understand? Just have a preparation. And then when the time comes, you will know. The Spirit will tell you, it's time to flee. Flee where? I'm here in flip-flop. I'm here. I didn't even apply for a passport. I don't even have whatever. I bought a new car. It took me 5 years to pay. No, you should have bought an old car and pay cash.
Yes.
I was trying to buy a house, finished to pay in 10 years. You are in a trap. You are supposed to live in a shack, not in a new house. 10 years to pay for it. Get a caravan with a couple of wheels and go, move, sell your golden tooth and your wig and set yourself free. Sell everything except your pants and your shirt and be free.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Any questions?
No.
That's clear.
That was Revelation 16.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Praise God.